Good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sherrod Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, we begin with the special address by Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin earlier today. In that address, he ruled out a nationwide lockdown for now, warning that it could cause societal and economic collapse. What was also interesting to note in that speech was that he insisted that authorities do not practice double standards in enforcing self-quarantine for those who tested positive for COVID-19. Of course, all of this comes as Muhyiddin and seven other ministers, as well as six deputy ministers, are currently quarantined at home. This after the Religious Affairs Minister had tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday. And I think, Sherrod, on social media, there's conversations or comments about how this speech had contained no concrete announcement, as many people were expecting. However, I really think that what this speech was a signal to show us the current government's thinking in the way they're handling the pandemic, the trajectory of the pandemic, most telling the insistence that there will be no nationwide lockdown for now, thinking about the economy and the impact to livelihoods.
Yeah, indeed. But I think the assessment, Melissa, that this speech contained no real concrete information really is measured against a very jumpy public that was anticipating a lockdown because of the rising number of COVID cases and infections. And the question was, because some people, at least, people who share information on WhatsApp groups and speculate heavily about what government's going to announce, were perhaps bracing themselves for a possible lockdown. And if you hear, there was a lot of talk about people rushing to the supermarket and stocking up. So a kind of repeat of previous behaviour we've had in the early months of the pandemic.
I think it's quite interesting, when you talk about a jumpy public, it's interesting to kind of put your finger on the pulse of what's being said, the tone, the anger, the dissatisfaction. I think the anticipation for a lockdown was one thing, but the dissatisfaction, the fear over the numbers, whether or not the public will buy the assurances of the Prime Minister that no double standards will be
practiced.
But
it's not just the question of whether you're quarantined if you're positive. The issue around people returning from Sabah, and remember the kind of loosening of the SOPs around that, many journalists coming back from Sabah quarantine themselves regardless of whether they tested positive or negative. In fact, if they tested negative, you still go into self-quarantine. That is no guarantee that you won't get infected, but it certainly would have helped. So I think the incidents, the case of the religious minister, or the minister for religion rather, and the number of universities and public engagements he engaged in that resulted in spreading the virus.
Well, maybe now, we will see the rotan being brought out. Sales of rotan might skyrocket after this.
I doubt it. Melissa, it comes back to also that case, the plantations, industries and commodities minister are yet unresolved. I think that plays badly for the current administration in social media. It might not be the Prime Minister's base. And I wonder about that use of the language, which had also been commented on, again, that self-definition as the father of the nation, Abba, being used, roundly mocked, I think, but maybe in very urban, middle-class circles, but maybe for the communications team of the Prime Minister, playing to his base, who maybe appreciate that language, the assurance of a steady hand, of somebody in authority, so on and so forth.
I do want to note that, following this speech, whether there really is a kind of a whole of country, a whole nation, truly national response to this. And I want to point out that Lim Kit Siang had raised concerns over the National Security Council meeting last Saturday. And apparently that meeting had excluded Pakatan Harapan state leaders. So Selangor, Negeri Sembilan and Penang, Menteri Besar Chief Ministers, had not been part of that meeting. So I think that was one thing that we should be paying attention to.
Absolutely. That along with the question that keeps coming back of clusters within detention centers and prisons. Melissa, this very serious issue not addressed squarely by those in authority. What are they going to do about the situation? Clearly, they're pushed along by the overcrowding situation, pointed out by many public health officials. Something needs to be done. Many countries, and we've talked about this on the show before, many countries have taken to reducing their prison populations as a way of managing that situation. Not here in Malaysia, and we've heard nothing on the question of how they're going to deal with the prison issue.
Definitely, and you know, we saw that Penang Remand Prison had taken action to isolate and quarantine inmates, as well as some staff, I believe, that have been in close contact with an inmate who was reported to have died in prison yesterday. Now, it has been learned that it was an 85-year-old who fell unconscious. It was an inmate in the prison, and that the inmate was taken to the Penang Hospital where he was pronounced dead. But it's unclear whether the inmate died of COVID-19. Of course, all of this coming on the heels of the spread of COVID-19 cases in Alostar, in the Alostar prison area in Kedah, which, of course, resulted in the targeted enhanced MCO to be enforced tonight. Now, you mentioned a blind spot, Sharad, and I'm really wondering whether we can still call it a blind spot when there's so many calls from so many parties, many stakeholders, to say that, you know, this is a ticking time bomb that we need to address.
Yeah, the expression blind spot, I think, only refers to a gap in decision making or
policy.
In policy, right? So while it's been pointed out very clearly that this is an issue to be addressed, we still haven't had an adequate response to it. And considering that many countries have actually taken action on their prison populations, it still remains a big question mark as to why we haven't gone that way. Is it that the government feels it's difficult to sell this to the general public?
As in decarceration, meaning letting the inmate, you know, perhaps inmates who are, or detainees who are being held for less serious crimes out.
Yes, you know, and you know, because you have a government and maybe more importantly a public that feels we always need to punish people, right? So, you know, and we see that in the pushback against decriminalizing minor drug use and so on and so forth. And maybe that is what is going on in the minds of policymakers. They don't want to pick up that hot potato.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here and consider this. But after this, we will be discussing the limits of dissent, public criticism and freedom of expression in Malaysia. It's all coming up in a couple minutes. Stay tuned to consider this.